everybody, and welcome to the See You on the Trail podcast. My name is Hitch. I'll be taking care of you today.
Well,
KOH is done and over with. It's been a little bit over a week since I've been home. And guys, just so you know, I'm sick. I'm pretty sure I got the coronavirus. Just kidding. I hope I am kidding. But I've been sick for about a week. I was there from February 1st till February 10th. Actually, February 9th, I took off and went on to back to Ontario and spent about 14 hours in a hotel room, sleeping, taking baths and showers, trying to keep my fever down. Then I got back to, got on the plane on Monday, spent a whole bunch of time in the airport because I had to pay more to get a late checkout, yada, yada, yada. And anyway, went through Vegas, kind of wanted to stay there, but I wasn't feeling good. So I went ahead and came on home. Been trying to recover ever since. And it was a doozy. I haven't been to KOH in over 5 years. This would be the fifth year I'd missed if I missed this year. So it had changed tremendously for me. I was media for three teams. Number 479 of Quentin Hilburn's the Flying Q. I was also media for 4561, which is Cody St. Clair. Which congrats to him. He got his first finish in over 4 years at KOH. He's 21. And I like to laugh. And I told him exactly right before he went up back up on the, when he went up on the podium to accept his finish, his seventh place finish. I told him, I said, you know why you haven't finished? I said, because you any other year, you couldn't have taken a beer across the stage. But he was able to take a beer across the stage. His family, his dad was there, his co-driver, which is a partner in the rig with him. Very emotional. They are a very emotional team. They work hard. They are family oriented. Congrats to them. I also want to say congrats to the other person that was able to finish the race for, I think, the second time in 10 years, Darren Hinkey. He was with the other guy that I represented, Darren and Darlene from D-Squared. Many of you guys know them. They've been a part of the Ultra 4 industry for a long time. Those are the three teams that I represented, and you'll be seeing podcasts come out with them. And then also you're going to see a documentary series about how their week went at KOH. Excuse the coughing. I'm still sick. I've got a low-grade fever right now. I'm coughing up all kinds of junk. I think I got rid of the desert junk out of my lungs, but I'm not real sure. Those three teams is who I represented. I was part of media, so I got to go into the media tent. And I do want to say big congrats to Emily Miller and the whole Ultra 4 crew, the core group, Alan Johnson, Dave Cole, JT Taylor, everybody that did it. The media, we were treated like royalty. We got fed by some top-notch chefs, and they took care of us. They gave us sack lunches for when we go out on a race. They gave us a heated tent with internet that wasn't shabby at all. The only time that I ever had any problems with the media internet was when Monday was the first day that we had a sandstorm Sunday night, 80-mile-an-hour winds. It was nasty. It basically knocked down some of the microwave towers. They were able to bounce everything off and get internet. So all of Hammertown was without internet for, three or four hours in the morning, but not a big deal. They got that taken care of, and then always had monsters ready for us, waters ready for us, anything that we wanted. They were able to comply and help and help us get the best footage that we possibly could. My week was great. It was, I started out, I got there Saturday night. One thing I did not know is most of you know I like Keystone Light. I'm an Okie. I'm from the central area of the United States. I love Keystone Light, and I figured, how hard could it be to find Keystone Light? Well, when I flew in and then got the rental car, I ended up at two liquor stores that I found one 30-pack a piece there. And I wanted to give some for friends and everything else, have enough. So I went to Walmart, and Walmart was completely packed, and I finally found two 30-packs of Coors Light. So that's the way I went with it. And we ended up getting out there to the lake bed. Stayed with Custom Splice. A lot of you know Todd. He's a volunteer out there a lot of the years. Anyway, stayed with him. The first night, didn't have a key to the rig. And luckily, I just guessed a code on his little code thing on his unlocked door and found it and was able to spend the night there. Had a little bit of fun trying to hunt down the key to start the rig because the rig had been there since January 19th. So it had been sitting there not being used. So once I and one of the crew, Tony from Ultra 4, he actually had the key, but trying to track him down because he was out setting up course markers and all kinds of stuff. He actually, he had the key in his pocket the whole time, but we did find it, got it taken care of. Everything was fine after that. We had a great time. Me and Todd stayed together all 10 days. Well, nine. He came in on Tuesday, I believe he came in on and volunteered for Ultra 4 after that. Had a great time. Didn't really get out of Hammertown. Spent a lot of time helping 4561, doing a lot of B-roll for all the guys, doing some interviews, sitting around the campfire gathering information, seeing who was in, who was out, who was broken, who was getting fixed. And it was a great time. But I put this together. This was originally supposed to be in the documentary film for 4561, but we were trying. We were more worried about having the audio so everybody could talk, and I wanted all three of the guys to be together. So the video is not great. So I can post it on YouTube if you want to see it. But we basically used a small shotgun mic for all three of them because I didn't have three lapel mics to do it. So what we did is we just basically set the camera up real close to them so they're not all in frame. So they talked about their whole week, and I thought this was really cool, and I thought, why not just throw it up on a podcast so you guys can listen to it and listen to how they worked together to finish KOH for the first time ever. Like I said, Cody, the driver, is only 21 years old. He's out of DFW area. Let you guys listen to this, and tell me what you think. If you like it, share it. Give it a little like wherever you're listening to it on. We're based off of Anchor, but we do. We're on all the podcasting networks, and then we're also on YouTube and Facebook. I'll post it all on there, guys. If you like these, I've got three more coming, plus a couple extras that I think you'll be interested in. Why don't you go ahead and listen to this one, and I'll catch you at the tail end of this, and we'll see how. Well, I'll let you know a little bit more about what my plans are in the future. So thank you very much. My name's Hitch, and enjoy the interview with Cody St. Clair, Mark Klingel, and Anthony St. Clair at KOH the day after they finished King of the Hammers. Enjoy.
Squeak that wheel. Oil it.
All right, guys.
Torco over here.
Let's start with when you left Texas to... right now today, start out and talk about it. Let's just see what happens.
Week prior.
Cut. Let's go again.
Week prior to King of Hammers, we were kind of still buttoning the car up and getting the trailer ready. Just a little testing tuning. I was sleeping very little that week because it was just getting everything done. Cody,
you're going to school, right?
No, I'm actually done with school, but I was coming home from work 7 o'clock at night, staying up until about 11, working on the car as well.
Mark, what were you doing?
I unfortunately have been stuck out of town with work, leaning on these guys quite a bit this prep season. Came to help rebuild the shocks when I was in town for a little bit, but that's... that's been my extent of it this year.
Shocks building always epic for us because we get really dirty and oily.
It's definitely an event.
And then you get in the truck, you head here on what day?
We left Thursday.
Thursday, mid-morning.
Mid-morning. Anything drastic happen on the way here?
Nice, easy ride.
Lost a fan blade.
Decided to take a flight off the fan and the radiator and the truck.
Coming right up the Hammer, up to the Johnson Valley.
Yeah.
So we've got to change that this afternoon to go home.
And then you get here, you get your tent, and let's pull the car in. What we got?
Okay, so speaking of the tent, this is our first year to have a tent, so we decided to do a 20 by 20. And my wife, who has a dog grooming business that she started 4 or 5 years ago and has been very successful. She stepped up and said, I will sponsor your tent. So that's why she's on the hood. She got on the hood for KOH, Doggone It, Texas Dog Grooming Shop, Salon. And so she's kind of a quiet backdoor supporter. But of course, being her son, that's, you know, but she is the one that took care of her sons. And this tent was a lifesaver. You'll hear later on how we had to change this transmission. 70 mile an hour wind outside. It was cold, horrific outside. We had a heater going in here. So this tent saved our life. It was, like Mark would say, it's a game changer.
Cool. And then you get the car out, got the trailer. You head out to go shock tear, just test drive and make sure you're happy with the desert. What happens?
So we went out to go run some whoops and see how the car was doing, see if we need to make any changes to the shocks. And we head out there, car's doing fine. And we stopped to turn around and the car wouldn't go back in the first gear. So we brought it back and we started messing with it. And then we made the ultimate decision to completely tear the car down and pull the transmission.
And what day was that?
That was
Sunday.
Sunday. And then we had the transmission back, rebuilt, and had back in the car 30 minutes before qualifying.
On Monday. Yeah.
We had a rebuilt transmission back in our hands at 1:15. We had to qualify at 4.
Right. And our goal, because we made the Power Hour again this year, our goal is for our sponsors to be in Power Hour, whether the car would run with a darn or not, the car was going to be at Power Hour. Whether we had first gear or nothing, it was going to be there at least for Power Hour, because that's part of our payback to our sponsorships to be on that part of the qualifying, is the Power Hour.
Okay. You get the transmission put back together, get everything put back together 30 minutes before qualifying. You go out and qualify. You two talk about the qualifying course, if you had any prep on it, and then tell us how the whole qualifying went.
So we got the transmission in about 30 minutes before qualifying started for us for Power Hour, and we have had zero seat time in it. No pre-running of the qualifying track, absolutely nothing.
No shock tuning?
No, nothing. We got it to shift gears, and that's when we decided to go qualify.
Cody, you were on the computer a little bit.
Yeah.
So you do all the engine tuning, correct?
Yeah, the minimal stuff.
Gotcha. So you get to the start line, and what's the last words you guys say to each other?
I don't even remember.
I said good luck.
Give her hell and
do our best.
Yeah.
So where'd you end up qualifying, and where'd you end up qualifying at a how big of a field?
We ended up qualifying 62nd, if I remember right, out of 120 cars.
Sweet, so mid pack, which is where a lot of people.
Yeah.
So after that, you come back. What happens next after qualifying?
We shook the car down, crawl under it. We dropped the oil pan. We changed all our fluids. We put the Torque Oil race oil in. Changed transmission fluid.
Topped off
the differentials. Changed motor oil. We changed motor oil every race. Fresh oil every race. Fresh oil filter. So we just did some preventive stuff, some busy work on the car just to prep it. We changed spark plugs. What else did we do to it? Spark plugs, check the spark plug boots, make sure the wires were good, nothing burnt. You know, in this type of racing, the littlest thing can take you out. The simplest bolt, the simplest screw, a pin, can take you out, because these cars get beat up. I mean, man, I'd hate to see, you know, what a person's internals look like bouncing around in this stuff, let alone a car parts.
So, race day comes around, and you guys start at 62nd. You two talk about the race. Tell us what some of the most, let's go back with the most epic moments, the scariest moments, the letdowns, the cool things, and everything like that.
think one of the scarier moments of yesterday's race was when the transmission wouldn't shift out of first and second. Just having that feeling that the transmission that just had been rebuilt is now junk again because something internally failed already.
We pulled it up the first pass on pit one, or the second pass, and was that 50, 60 miles into the race?
Yeah.
And we went ahead and splashed a 5-gallon can. That's when he found that we couldn't get into reverse, neutral, first gear, any of it. It was physically jammed into first third, second.
First and second.
First and second.
And then I get the radio call in pit 2B from them that it won't shift. And the radio interference and everything is so bad, I'm not able to broadcast to them, but I can hear them. And I'm on the radio saying, check the shifter pin, check the leakage pin. He can't hear me saying that, but they're telling me what's going on. So that was rough. And I was at pit 2, or 2A, I guess, or 2B, 2A. So I'm stuck there, and I can't help them. So that makes it more difficult for us.
Right. I mainly just use this for the mic, by the way. So you're sitting at pit 1, main pit, and...
So we make the decision to leave pit 1 with only those two gears.
What I heard was we're going to limp it in.
We're going to do what we can to get it there. And that's all I keep telling Cody. Don't get in a position where we got to back up.
Yeah.
If we got to back up, we're pretty much out of luck. He did a good job, man. He got into those rocks, crawled around, made passes on people, up and down, in and out. And we scooted back in here to the tribe pit. And Ryan, Lance, and all his guys with Adam and Matt, they all got up underneath the car, started helping. We dropped all the pans that we needed to. And I believe the guy's car number was 4669. I never got his name. Thank you very much.
Little guy.
He was kind of a small guy, but he dove right in there, head underneath the dash, upside down, started working on doing whatever he could to help us get back in the race.
It's Dawson's dad. Apes that came from next to
him. Okay.
Because I was on camper last night and said, I'm telling you, but anyway, okay, so go from there.
Well, they got that fixed, and then me not knowing it, then I get a text from Grandma back in Texas. Cody's left a pit, car's fixed, headed back out. So, I mean, what better news can you get? And then Dave's Off-Road, our sponsor, even then texted us and said, hey, the guys are fixed. They're on thing. Thank you for the TV spot, because Miles actually came up and interviewed Cody. And Dave's Off-Road got a nice little shot on screen of his stuff, so he was happy with that.
Cool. And then you guys hauled ass back in the desert for lap 2?
Yep.
And
with a blown shock. That was all the only problem we had was a blown shock. Driver rear. And every time we hit a bounce, every time we hit a whoop, it would scoot the butt end around. He drove as fast as he could with it, kept the car on its wheels. Can't ask for anything better than that.
Coming down, you know, after you got out of Spooners, the only obstacle you had in between the finish line and Spooners was the back door. What were you telling Cody?
So funny thing about that, we come out of Spooners, all we've got left is back door and resolution. We hit the bottom coming out of Spooners, hit some desert. He puts his hand up, and I said, not yet, and I put it back down. We got in there, and I told him as soon as we got in the back door, I said, I don't care how hard this thing hurts, make sure it doesn't go on its lid. Just keep it on the wheels, and we're there. And he did. He had a smooth run through back door. I mean, not even a stop. We didn't even slow down.
Not a bounce.
Just boom, boom, boom. We're in and out. Smooth as you could be. We hit the bottom, and that's when I started hitting him in the head. Bam, bam. We're there. We're there.
Oh, cool. So, you finished KOH for the first time ever for you guys.
Ever. Ever. 4 years.
4 years. Yeah. And I made a joke to you. I said, the only reason you had to finish KOH is because you had to have a beer crossing that stage.
The legal age.
Yeah. What was going through your head when you passed that? When you hit that checkered flag, turned around, and you ended up meeting the media that wanted to interview you. What was your thought? What was going through your thought process?
sheer excitement.
Yeah.
One of the opportunities that not a lot of people get to have finishing a race like this.
Cool. And what's going through your head, Mark?
Everybody that has helped support us to get to here. You know, my wife Amanda, mom and dad, Anthony and Jan, and
all
of his family, everybody that's helped us, support us, you know, all of our sponsors. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, we got one guy that's actually not here, Grandpa, my dad, Terry. He helps with the driving a lot of times on long trips. He comes, he just kind of hangs out, helps where he can with tires. He's a, by trade, a master aircraft welder. Man's a phenomenal welder, and he helps with that sometimes. And does stuff, and he, at 76 or so years old, he's still pretty active. He gets out here, he'll change a tire, spin the lug nuts off. But he's not here. He made the choice not to come this year because it is a pretty hectic race. So the option to stay home and watch it on TV. So, but
cool. Well, other than that, talk about. Who you want to thank that maybe aren't sponsors? Who would you, like, mom, dad, all that kind of stuff? I mean, I think we've already covered all that.
Yeah. Let's just talk about where maybe you want to go in the future.
Yeah, what's your future plan? That's a good idea.
Our future plan is to step up next year. There's a couple of things we want to, you know, we need definitely more power under the hood. Like, the sand hills are a big obstacle for us. We basically have just a mildly built stock LS1 motor. I mean, we want to go to a 416 or 408 stroker. And that takes money. So it's things that we have to plan for and work, upgrade our transmission maybe to a re-race case type, rear axle, sheet metal axle. We want to upgrade that at some point. So it's just things that, and then keep racing. I know Cody has mentioned to me several times, maybe we want to try some desert racing, maybe a small Baja race, or we're looking at maybe some of that stuff in the future.
Cool.
Not just Ultra 4, but expand our racing
cool.
stuff that we want to do.
I guess that's about it. I think that's all I need. I got the pictures. I got everything else. Yeah. Sweet.
Girl. Well, how was that interview? What'd you guys think about it? It was an impromptu deal. We really tried to make it kind of homegrown, to where you guys know that this team is probably one of the most family-oriented teams that I've ever worked with. I know there's more out there on the lake bed. I know there's more in Ultra 4 and the minor series stuff. But these guys work together. They have been around for years. They've raced a couple of races that I've put together, like Buzz the Red Dog. And I've seen them literally push their car across the finish line just to finish. And they did that just because it was fun. They didn't do it because there was big money in it. They did it because it was fun. Anthony actually drove Buzz the Red Dog one year, and Mark co-drove. They have fun with it. They enjoy it. And in fact, I just heard that Cody's actually going to be a full-time American Airlines mechanic. And general mechanic, and then his dad also works for American Airlines as well. Not sure exactly what Mark does, but he's able to make it. He's out of town a lot. I do know that. But they're based out of Dallas-Fort Worth area, only about 8 or 10 miles from the Texas Motor Speedway. So they've done a couple of events for me with the Racers Lounge, and great people, good people. They will always help you out. They will always be the right person to. If you call them, and if they have time to do it, they'll do it, and they'll bust tail to do it. They do have it's a Tribe chassis, and they got the roller, and then they finished it out. They finished it out themselves between the three of them. It was a great thing to see. I got teared up pretty much whenever they finished. It was pretty emotional. That video will be out in the next month or so. It's going to take a lot of editing. And I'm waiting to get back some other footage from other companies that I brought in to shoot. And we also got some onboard footage and some other stuff to add to the documentary film. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed it, guys. I'm so pleased with the way KOH went down for me. with the exception of being sick a week after. I'm sucking down the cough medicine and the NyQuil and everything else and blowing my nose about every 10 seconds. But very, very pleased with the way KOH went down. It was a huge blast. Being there, and the really cool thing is, like, Wednesday night they had the they had a dueling piano bar that was on stage, on the monster stage. And to be honest, if you've ever been to a piano bar, it's a very close interaction with the piano, with the entertainers versus the people. And I kind of thought that would be a separation, that it wouldn't actually work. But I was completely 100% wrong. It was probably the best night on the lake bed. I had a great time doing that. And then Saturday night, if you guys missed out on that, Sublime playing, you guys missed out on a lot. Those guys played their hearts out. It was awesome. One of the best concerts I've ever seen. And it was, what was really cool is you were among friends. You weren't among, you just didn't buy a ticket and sit next to random people. You were there. You were with everybody that you knew. And it was great. And in fact, I ended up hanging out with for the majority of the week, I hung out at a table in the media tent where the Yellow Brick employees were there. And if you know Yellow Brick, which I think they call it YB Tracking now, YBTracking.com, those guys worked tirelessly to make sure that you guys at home could actually see exactly what your team was doing. And there were no flaws, no mess ups, there wasn't. I remember back in the day whenever we had an unnamed tracking company that you'd find people going 400 and 500 mile an hour. You'd see an update. It was just ridiculous. This was very, very fine tuned, very well taken care of. They updated every 2 minutes. I think that's what they had it set at, but they could do it at every 30 seconds. They were very amazed. I want to hand it out to all the Ultra 4 guys, the YB tracking guys, said they only had 8 missing trackers, where in past years they've had 20 or 30. So, shout out to all the Ultra 4 drivers that brought their stuff back, made sure they got it all back, to ensure that we're going to have YB tracking for years to come. There's so many people to thank that put on this event. If you guys have never been to KOH, I highly suggest it. I used to call it a bucket list. Once you've gone once, you want to go back, but you don't, kind of, sort of. Go back. Make sure you have the amenities to be able to live in the desert for 6, 7, 8 days and enjoy it. I think I took 2, maybe 3 showers while I was out there. Granted, they were 1 gallon showers. At least they weren't baby wipe showers. So, also the other thing I want to tell you is, the media, they did really well. The guys that were announcing Primo perfectly enjoyed it. The one thing I can tell you about some of the media that came in and ended up being in the media tent and signed up for level 2 or level 3 or whatever it ended up being, make sure that you know your information. If you don't know the information, don't post it. And it ends up causing a big mess, as a whole. I know a lot of guys, they're very skeptical about, they make assumptions that they don't really know the information about. And I do want to tell you, if you don't know the information, don't put it out. It will be tremendously effective if you only state what you know for sure. Now, if you're talking about who's going to win, that's a different story. And also know exactly where you're at when you're at someplace. And I noticed a lot of people that in the media, they said they were at Cougar Buttes, which they didn't understand that Cougar Buttes across the desert is about a 2-hour drive if you don't have a Ultra 4 car. And it's an hour drive out there if you take the regular road and the telephone line road to get out there. So I know that a lot of people said they were at Cougar Buttes. They weren't. So make sure you're accurate when you're reporting media, because you are actually what people believe, because you got the media credentials. So if you have the credentials, know your stuff. Other than that, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We do enjoy you guys listening to us. We do appreciate you guys' help and sharing and doing everything else. If you're not a friend on Facebook, find us, like us, See you on the trail. No spaces. You can find us on Instagram. At Pit Reporter, Pit _ Reporter on Twitter. And then also See You on the Trail on Facebook. Facebook would be the most active. I've got over 7,000 organic likes on there. I've been around since 2007. So I've been around these guys for a long time. I have a rapport with them. I'll admit I make some people mad, but usually because the truth hurts. But it is one of those things. So anyway, thank you guys for listening to us. We got 3 more podcasts coming out immediately, probably within the next 3 weeks. And then after that, we've got other podcasts kind of planned out, but we haven't made that happen yet. I'm sorry, I haven't been very active on it. It's just kind of hard to get those guys going and get them to get on the phone with them, because every time that they're on the phone with you, they're not working on their car, they're not prepping their car, they're not doing everything that they think that they need to do. And so getting them on the phone and having them sit down for 30 to 45 minutes is tough, but we'll get it done. We'll take care of it. I've talked to a few other guys that are willing to do it. I just got to nail them down. Next for us, we really don't know. I believe I'm going to go out to the Davis race for the UTVs. It's only 30, 45 minutes from my house, so I'll go out there and hang out with them. Might do some video, might do a podcast, might just do some live footage on Facebook. They've got a pretty decent cell phone signal out there, I'm pretty sure. So maybe I can cover it that way. Guys, thank you for listening. I want to thank everybody in the core group of KOH again. You guys have made, I was gone for 5 years, and it is amazing how streamlined you guys have made this. And there's no other problems. There's no issues. We just enjoy being out there. It is like it's Burning Man for gearheads. It is awesome. And my plan is to be out there next year, and hopefully I can cover a few more racers and have a little bit more fun, maybe see another concert or two, and enjoy myself, meet some new people, and see some of my old friends. So, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My name is Hitch. I'm See You on the Trail. And, well, guess what? We'll see you on the trail. Later.